Maybe it's not the recession we had to have, but it was the one we couldn't avoid. Official figures have confirmed the Australian economy contracted in the March quarter, even before businesses felt the full brunt of the coronavirus shutdowns. With the June quarter likely to record an even bigger slump in activity, I think that's certain, the Treasurer Josh Frydenberg admitted yesterday that Australia was now in its first recession in almost three decades, but he says things could have been worse.
While we fell by 0.3% in the March quarter, in the same quarter, China fell by 9.8%, France by 5.3%, the United Kingdom by 2%, the United States by 1.3%. So we have fared relatively well, not only on the health front, but also on the economic front.
That's the Federal Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg, speaking to us earlier here on Breakfast. Well, for some analysis of the latest figures, Sarah Hunter is Chief Economist with BIS Oxford Economics. Sarah Hunter, welcome to Breakfast.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So the economy contracted by 0.3% in the first 3 months of this year. That was due, obviously, to the twin hits, I think, of the bushfires and the early stages of the COVID-19 shutdown. It's not too negative, it's not much of a drop into negative territory, but is this a significant decline for an economy which hasn't contracted for 29 years? How do you view this?
Yeah, it's certainly, given the events you've mentioned, it's not surprising that the economy contracted. And I do think it's a significant move. And the data does give us an idea of what we'll see when we get the June quarter numbers, which should come out in September. Obviously, dealing with the immediate past. I think the fact that our restrictions came in largely at the end of March, travel restrictions from the start of February, of course, but the bigger restrictions only really kicked in the second half of March. And we still saw some very sharp contractions around some parts of consumer spending, particularly on the services side. Does give you an indication that the June quarter is going to be a very much worse number when we get that data. And it does illustrate then that, you know, the size of the sort of a task to get back to normal in terms of activity levels. And it's obviously marries up as well with what we're seeing in terms of jobs and the labour market.
The Treasurer has made the point that we've, before these figures came out, we'd seen a long time incline in consumer confidence. And yet what these figures show is a major drop in consumer spending and the fact that consumers are saving. We're saving, not spending at the moment. So given we are in for an even sharper decline in the June quarter, it's got to be a hit to consumer confidence, won't it? So what will that do to that consumer spending trend?
Yeah. So the consumer confidence numbers are quite interesting in that they fell very, very sharply at the end of March, the start of April. And of course, that makes sense in the context that that was the point in time when cases of coronavirus were rising at their quickest pace. We'd just gone into the lockdown type conditions. And that stage, it really wasn't clear what the health outcomes were going to be, how long we were going to have to maintain those restrictions. And looking at other countries, it certainly seemed as if we were in for a really quite a bad period in terms of the spread of the virus. Consumer confidence has improved as those health outcomes have improved. And indeed, we have obviously seen far fewer cases here, far fewer deaths than have been happened in other countries. And so that pickup has come through and that has supported spending. Some of the high frequency data just suggests that there has been a bit of a rebound in spending, but it is nowhere near back to normal levels. And the challenge now is how do we get from the sort of rebound that we have seen, the partial rebound through May, back up to those normal levels. Some of that is about the complete removal, if you like, of those restrictions. But more than that, I think as we move forward, it's going to be about incomes and jobs. And as we get into the last 3 months of the year, how households and the economy deals with the currently legislated withdrawal of JobKeeper, the job seeker supplements, and those extra benefits. That's definitely going to be a challenge for consumers.
Let's go to that
as we head through the end of the year.
Let's go to that now. If jobs are the answer, so is stimulus. And you're talking there about the JobKeeper. The Treasurer says we've avoided an economic Armageddon. But there is a cliff we keep hearing about too, which is in September when the JobKeeper package is slated to go. The JobSeeker package is slated to halve again. Is there a risk of falling back into recession at that point? Or are we likely to see a positive quarter in between then? And how does the government avoid that?
Yeah,
keep spending?
I think... I think the third quarter, we should see a positive quarter of growth, assuming we don't get a second wave of infections. And certainly the health data suggests that that's likely. So Q3 should be a positive, but it's that last quarter of the year absolutely is going to be very, very challenging. If you look at the amount of government support that's currently being provided to households through all of those various programs, it's really very substantial. And as you said, as legislated, it does all stop on 30 September. We don't know yet. We're still obviously seeing how this recovery plays out. But a bad case scenario would be that a fair proportion of the people who are currently receiving JobKeeper via their employers decide not to keep them on, and they lose their jobs. And even without that, there's still going to be a lot of people who are unemployed, who are receiving the job seeker benefit and then supplement, who are going to see their income obviously pare back by half potentially when that supplement is removed. So the December quarter, we could see really quite a sharp slowing in terms of the pace of recovery, just because there is this big pullback on household income, unless we get some smoothing or some additional support from the government or some targeted support through that period.
These are hard things to get right. Obviously, the delicate, as you've just been describing, is it possible that the 850,000 people will be back in work by July? That's the Treasurer's forecast as the restrictions lift, and that government wage subsidies will no longer be needed. I mean, keeping that type of support there too long, can that be counterproductive for the economy?
I mean, in terms of people being back in their jobs, that's a hard one to know how that's going to play out, because we've obviously got people who are not able to work, as in do their job right now, because their place of work hasn't opened or it's only partially reopened, and they're formally employed. They're getting JobKeeper, but if JobKeeper wasn't there, would they still be employed? That's the question, and that's the big unknown. It certainly, obviously, removing restrictions is key, and that's one of the things that has to happen for things to go back to normal. But there is this issue of, even if there were no restrictions in place right now, we've had a severe negative shock to the economy. Demand is very, very weak at the moment. Would all those people still have their jobs? Would they be employed? Because demand would be there for the labour, for the work they do. Not necessarily. And I think in terms of should Keeper be extended, and is there a need for further support? I'd say right now, yes, we do need to keep supporting the economy. It is the thing that will drive that demand, and it is crucial to do that. We've got a chronic lack of demand at the moment, and that's what the fiscal policy is very effective at tackling.
Just very briefly, Sarah, we've only got a minute to the news or less than. Australian dollar's nudging 70 US cents, a big rise from the lows in March of 55 cents. Why is our dollar strengthening so much right now, and how much of a hindrance is that to our recovery? Just very briefly.
So I think it reflects two things. One is we've got a strengthening in some commodity prices, particularly iron ore, obviously a major export of ours. And two, I think it really reflects the relative economic positions at the moment. We are coming through the crisis relatively unscathed compared to other economies. And that then has come through the currency. And it's been a broad strengthening, not just against the US dollar. So two things coming together there. Potentially a bit of hampering, but then international travel in particular is completely restricted in all directions at the moment, so it's unlikely to be a major drag in the near term.
All right. Sarah, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Sarah Hunter from BIS Oxford Economics.